for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Toyota South, People's Exchange Bank, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protex Security and Fire Systems, and let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good evening and welcome everyone to another edition of PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM. Again, we're getting ready to wrap up most of fall sports. We have some all tournament news. We have some state qualifiers, some regional updates as far as the volleyball, and then we want to close out with our football. And then another thing I want to mention, that we will be having the middle school, which is our first time we've ever done this, a middle school broadcast of the football game tomorrow night, which is a conference playoff game.
Semifinals.
So we'll broadcast that game here tomorrow night, just to I guess maybe even look forward a little bit to what some of the kids we're going to have for the next couple of years at the high school, hopefully. And we'll go from there. Again, on Friday night, our last football game for the season for the high school. So again, we got all that coming for you tonight here on PCSN. We'll probably even talk a little bit about who's in the World Series going forward. So that'll start Friday night as well.
So let's do this real quick. Let's go on, and I'll mention soccer. I know we're kind of going back, but we're going to go back to boys soccer. As far as the players that made the all 14th region team, several players from Powell County that made that team. So the first team all region from Powell County: Carter Poe, Axel Vasquez, Zeke Crow, Garrett Gillespie, and Aiden Berry. So nice job by those guys. And then second team all region, for the Pirates, we have Brennan Bush and Aiden King, Landon Nolan. And then the defensive player, all-region player of the year, was Aiden Berry from Powell County. So congratulations to those guys. The boys soccer team fell short of what their goal was, obviously, but still an outstanding season. You know, it's just unfortunate that they ran into a really nice Jackson City team that really kind of shut them down. But regardless, still, congratulations to those guys for making the all-region team.
Yeah, and we haven't seen anything on the girls' side. If someone knows any information as far as the girls are concerned, just shoot us a message. We just don't have that information in front of us. So, again, we're not trying to slight you. If we don't see it and don't know it, can't say it here on the radio. So if you send us that, that would be awesome. Also, we had a for volleyball all region, the one game we played was Josie McClure. Talked to Josie today. Saw it on Facebook the other night that she had won the award. We were at the game. I didn't even hear it. And
I'm not so sure that they truly announced it.
They did, because they said she didn't hear it either.
Okay. So, well, maybe that's why.
Yeah, so I guess it was pretty low, or she was kind of a little bit dejected from losing the game.
Sure.
But and I thought it was well deserved. She was probably the one that made the least mistakes if up from the whole group. And again, just didn't really show up on Saturday like they had been the last couple of weeks, and everything that they had came forward kind of went back to what they had been.
Yeah, what we saw during the regular season. Yeah. And it's unfortunate, because prior to that, the four matches leading up to the region,
playing really good.
Outstanding, yeah. Right? Their service was great. They were scoring, you know, anywhere from 14 to 18 service points. But then when they hit, you know, Letcher County Central in that, four service points, six service points, and you're not going to win too many matches when you're only gaining, you know, 5 to 6 service points. You have to be in those teens in order to be competitive, and unfortunately, they just
barely got past 5, right?
Yep, correct. So they actually, they lost 25-9, 25-15, and 25-18. Set number 2, a little bit more competitive.
Had the lead in 2 and 3.
Yeah, had the lead, and then just kind of faltered when you think that, okay, well, they're going to get it going, a serve into the net, you know, and you turn the ball over, and then they would go back and score 3 or 4 points, and then we get it back thinking, okay, here you go. We maybe get 1 point, and then a turnover right back again. So there were no real big rallies for us as far as offensively or defensively.
And in that third set, just by itself, the score was the closest of the three sets, yet we had at least four, maybe five service.
Consecutively.
Yes, in the net.
Yes.
So, and I said this the entire end of the season, if we serve those points and get an opportunity, if you can win half those, you're looking at 22-21 at worst. So, you know, they were really right in two of the three matches. They weren't in the first set at all. I don't know if they warmed up too long. They got a little stagnant. They've been used to having slow starts. They got one there. But during the match, and I said this during the match, during the first set, we were starting to see some of Electro Central's weaknesses. And I thought, our team, if they're playing on their best, they can beat this team. And we just never did get to that point to where we were good enough to get knock those guys out. Again, Letcher did lose the next match to Breathitt County. We'll mention our partners to the south. Estill County lost to Wolf County. And there, for which actually they won the first set, lost 3-1. And then Wolf County was able to beat Knott Central, who was the favorite, 3-0.
Very close matches. Those were like 25-23, 25-21, 25-22.
Top two teams. We said that going up there on the way. It was kind of like, this is potentially the regional championship played in the semifinals. And those were the best two teams, we thought, in the region. They matched up, and it was a close battle like it should have been. And Wolf kind of came out on top. Congratulations to the Wolves. They're in action again tonight with a rematch of their district championship, which is Wolf County versus Breathitt County. Should be an entertaining match tonight.
Yeah, surprise. Not so much the Wolf.
No,
they Wolf is definitely one of the top two teams.
They were a coin flip with North Central.
Correct. But as far as going back to Powell, I felt should have beat Letcher. Felt like we had a great shot against that. And then kind of surprising that Breathitt ends up defeating Letcher. Breathitt being there in the championship game surprised me in many respects.
You know, we had thought possibility, if you look at the ratings, not Letcher rematch. After I saw Letcher play us, I just didn't think they were going to go any further. I didn't think they were as good over the eye test as they were on paper. And really, on paper, they weren't that good on paper.
No, correct.
They were above five. They were right at 500 on the season, wins, losses. They had lost some regional matches. Breathitt County has been really pretty good here late in the season. Really kind of wore out Powell County a couple of weeks ago, but Powell County was again playing at their worst. I really think this Powell County team, if they had got by Letcher, I think they'd had enough more confidence playing Breathitt than they going forward. Not that they would have beat Breathitt, but they would have had more confidence against Breathitt, and the way they played the last couple of weeks, they could have got by them. Now, beating Wolf County is an entirely different story. We never really were close to them all season, and Breathitt really hasn't been that close to Wolf all season. I just think Wolf County will win. I think they'll win tonight in three sets, but again, you played on the floor, not on paper, so we'll see how that outcome goes and let you know. Probably we'll talk maybe some about it tomorrow night.
Yeah, and even as far as the warm-ups, you and I had kind of talked before we went on air, the way that the Lady Pirates warmed up, a lot of their serves were into the net. A lot of their sets, as far as the strikers, they were hitting into the net and not going over. So there were like a lot of things pre-game that were going on that was like, kind of cause for concern, thinking this is not what we've even seen in warm-ups prior.
Yeah, and I don't know. It just
something was off.
It didn't look like they were, I'm not going to say in the mood to play, because I wouldn't want to say that ever, but they just didn't click. I mean, I know they were down a player from the normal rotation. I just don't feel like that one player was that big of a difference the way they played. We saw so many times where players just were letting another player, maybe you get it. I don't want it. It was kind of like
feet in the mud.
Yeah.
They weren't moving like we had seen them move.
And I'll go back to this too.
Consistently.
It's a Saturday afternoon game,
which I don't like.
I'm not sure our player, listen, Powell County's players in every sport. I'm not picking on volleyball here. Every sport, I'll say this again, does not play well on a non-school day.
You're out of your routine. Completely out of your routine. Right.
And I just think that this group, you took away my Saturday. I got to come all the way. It's more like I got to do this. Yeah, but don't you want to do this?
Right.
And I'm not sure they wanted it as bad as maybe we wanted it for them, or I'm not sure. I'm not saying that for all the players, but I do think some of the players probably were a little bit more lax than others. And I apologize if I'm wrong. It's just the look we saw. Just weren't really, I'm not going to say prepared, but they didn't look good warming up. They didn't look good. Their facial expressions just weren't, they weren't confident. That's not who we've been seeing the last couple of weeks. And
that's unfortunate on the biggest of stages at this point in the season. It kind of fell to the wayside.
I just kind of feel that they thought, okay, we win a game, we're not going to win another game. So what's usually trying to win one when we're going to beat the next one anyway? You don't want to think that way. But I just wonder sometimes if you look, okay, we're not going to beat Wolf. Probably not going to beat Knott. We're going to have a hard time beating Letcher. But if we do win, we got another tough opponent, so is it really worth getting ready for? I always say this. Hey, once the match starts, anybody can have a bad day. And you can win. You don't have to be the best team to win. Listen, look at the World Series. You've got the Arizona Diamondbacks, the last team in the National League. You've got the Texas Rangers, who wound up being the fifth seed, I believe.
Yeah, I had a chance to win the division.
Yeah, Houston
and lost on the last day.
Yeah, and so you've got Texas, the 5th seed, Arizona, the 6th seed, and they're going to the World Series.
Mind-boggling.
I guarantee you, if I were a gambler and putting money on those two teams to meet each other in the World Series, I promise you, I would have been a wealthy person.
Oh, agree, because I don't think too many people could have seen that coming. Not correct.
Those two teams. If you had some kind of a pick where I'm going to take Texas and Arizona, that's my two picks, I guarantee you the odds of Texas was probably, or Arizona was at least probably 30-1. And Texas, I would think, probably a little bit better than that, but not better than 15-1 of making the World Series. And those two together, and the way they both won on the road, again, you don't ever give up on a game. You go play and hope you play well the next time and figure something. Maybe they have a bad game. So I don't want to think that our girls let down because they didn't want to. It was too much work to get there, and the possibilities weren't great. If they thought that way, I guess shame on them. But, again, I love this group of girls. I'm not saying they're the most talented group we've ever had, but there's some of these players, I really tell you, that have got a lot of skill.
A lot of upside.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Tremendous
upside. Definitely
a
lot of upside. And losing two seniors.
Which is big.
Emily Lawson and Kylie Baker, two huge losses. Yes. But at the same time, the core group that they have coming back, very solid. And you and I have talked about this before. And again, I think collectively this is across our county within sports. Why is it that the mentality is not there, regardless of whose jersey you're playing against? Sometimes we have those doubts. And you and I have talked, I'm too competitive. I could care less if you beat me 10 out of 10 times. On the 11th time, I'm still going to bring everything that I have, regardless if I get beat or not. I'm still going to give you my best and I'm still going to expect to win. I'm not going in expecting to losing. Now, you could beat me. And at that point, be like, well, you were the better player. You beat me, but I'm still going to bring you everything I have because I'm tired of losing to you. How do we change that mentality?
I go into games, and again, and I'll just throw this stat at you. I think we beat Estill County one time in 18 years. But I think every time we go play, if this goes this way, we can win this game today. Now, whether or not my kids buy in, we've had some close matches. We've had some blowouts. But there's been times we've played well for five innings and then all of a sudden it falls apart. or four innings and it falls apart. But I think it's more about, and you talk about everybody. Look at Belfry, for an example, with football. This is a team that expects to win.
Every game.
Letcher Central in volleyball. For the first 15 years of volleyball, it went through Letcher Central. Now kind of Knox County's come in here. Wolf County has built something pretty special there. But it's new. But for the last few years, Wolf County's been used to winning. So the expectation is, we're going to win. Well, we haven't got over that hump yet.
And how do we get over that?
In any sport.
But how do we get over that?
We have to win first.
Correct, but I'm saying, but if I'm coming in with, if I'm a player and I'm coming in with the mentality like, we're probably not going to beat them, then I already have that defeatist attitude, and we have to change that mindset, saying, I'm not losing today.
Well,
today,
we,
I'm not losing.
We, at some point, will have to take a notch from the baseball program, and I'm not just saying this program, but because historically, go back to the 70s, we've been successful in baseball. But what is expected?
To win.
Now,
the expectation
for baseball,
is there.
We have an expectation of success. I don't care who the coach is. I don't care who the players are. Powell County is supposed to be top four in the region every year. Every year. So if we could all just kind of take a little bit of that, you know, even you look at our past basketball records, we're never in the top five of the region. We're never a fear of anyone.
No.
Back in 2003, the last time we won the region, that year we had a pretty special team. We had a pretty special team for about 5 or 6 years there prior to that. Our team was ranked in the region like top four. Doesn't happen very often. We're a 56th district team is expected to do much. Not just Powell County. Estes County is the same way. They had a couple years where they won the region, or 1 year where they won the region. But it's not expected to happen very often. Not Letcher, Hazard, Perry. Those guys, now Breathitt is always in the mix too. Those five schools expect to win in basketball. You know, there are probably five schools in baseball that expect to win every year. There's about three schools in volleyball that expect to win every year. Just like Perry County expects to win soccer. People have specialties.
But don't you think, though, that when you're looking at Estill, I feel like they think they can beat us in any game, right? I feel like they have the mindset. Now, whether they do or not is a different story, but they have the mindset that they can come in and they can beat Powell County game in, game out. And so where they have the mindset, then when you look at like a Lee or an Owsley and pick a sport, at that point, they're playing for pride, right?
They're all heart.
100%. They're all heart. They're playing for pride. We're going to come in. We're going to upset you because we're going to make it happen. We're going to hustle. We're going to dive. Yeah. We're going to do whatever it takes in order to win. And sometimes I don't feel like that's how we play. And I don't know how to change the mindset, but it just
– we don't have the heart. And I'm not knocking all our kids. Our kids don't have the heart.
This is historically.
Of Owsley.
I'm saying this is the whole program. Correct, you know.
When you go to Owsley County, I'll use them for an example. 200-some kids. And they will wear you out. And if they're a bad team, they still might wear you out.
They're going to hustle you.
They're not going to give up.
No, right.
They're going to work to get better. They're going to build from youth up. And by the time they get to be juniors and seniors, if they're doing that, they're going to be pretty good. In the meantime, they're going to be a thorn. And come tournament time, I don't care where Owsley's seated, they're going to give you a game. Because there is about pride. You wear the Owls, it's pride.
Yeah.
A school of 200.
They have more to prove.
Well, I mean, you know, you're beating Powell County with 650, Estill County with 600 plus. Let's knock down the big dogs. That's what Lee and Owsley want to do.
Yeah.
They could care less, not that they don't want to win region, but they could care less about how far they get. If they can knock off a Powell or an Estill in basketball, that's the season.
Yeah, agreed.
Now,
they have that mentality, though, that they're going to give everything that they can, including the kitchen sink, in order to beat you.
And they will,
right?
Do whatever.
They're going to lay it out on the floor.
Yes.
The court. They're going to lay it out there, and they're going to do that. Again, I wish we could find a way to change the mindset of our kids, our student-athletes, to say, regardless of who's on the opposite side, I'm coming today, and we're winning. In a sense, this is my house. This is my field, my court. We're going to give it all we can, and we're going to take you down because you're not going to beat us.
I'll use a quote later in the show, and maybe I shouldn't. I'll talk to Kim when we go on commercial in a minute. But, you know, when – and I guarantee coaches most of the time know where we are. You know, we know where we are. But to ever go out on the field and think we're going to lose, then we're going to try to win first. When I make my schedule out in softball, yes, I'm expecting to lose several games. But I'm not going to go try to lose. We're going to try our best today. If we happen to give you a good game, you know what? That's a great plus. If we get the win, holy cow. But, when you do scheduling, or when I do scheduling, I try to use some of what, you know, Dave Frawley's told me, some other coaches have told me, John Combs, you know, like 10-10-10. 10 you can win, 10 you're going to lose, 10 you're going to fight for. That's 30 games. You come out 15-15, you had a good season. That's just... To me, that's the way you build a schedule. It's not always easy to find teams that you know you can beat when you're not real good. So that's kind of tough sometimes. Then you get your schedule upside down. But that's just the way it is. Kids have got to learn to fight, be stronger, play with more heart. Not that individually some of these kids don't, but as a collective group, we've got to have that. And I think it's part of becoming family.
Sure.
You've got to be close
sure.
with each other to be able to win.
Yeah, and I think at that point, though, if you do that and you're not paying attention to who's the other jersey
doesn't
is.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're the best team, the highest-rated team. If they're the worst team, I'm coming out and I'm attacking game in, game out, the same game plan. We're going to win. I'm going to out-hustle. I'm going to outperform, outplay. Well, and hopefully, against those top-seeded teams, we're going to do enough to upset them because I prepared myself to do what I can do.
But the step further that I go with this is the last person on your roster is just as important as the top person on your roster. Because if we're all collectively buying in, we're all one.
True. We win together, we lose together.
Even the last person on your roster, they have to be able to contribute their part for this group to be successful. And I've always said it to basketball. If we don't have a second group that can practice with the first group, you can forget being any good. Because every day if you practice against a team that's far, far inferior, you only think you're good.
Yeah, and if a loss doesn't bother you and you're just passive with it, like, we lost, no big deal. Like
10 minutes later, everybody's laughing. Having fun and cutting up, right?
Yeah, I don't like to lose. Again, if I'm losing, and I used to be a sore loser, to be honest with you, because it would just fly all over me because I don't like to lose.
I've never been a sore loser, but sometimes I take losses to heart.
Well, okay, I'll give you that.
They hurt.
Correct, and at the same time, realizing what could I have done better for the collective, and therefore, I made an error, or there was that pitch right there, I should have swung at it, or I missed a free throw, or whatever it would be, like just, or a flag, a penalty. You know, again, I have to be accountable to myself, and then ultimately those mistakes and errors that I make add up as the collective within the whole thing, and we've got to clean that up.
Those mistakes are okay. Lack of effort is never okay.
Right.
Lack of trying is never okay. So, to me, you don't have effort, I don't know if I want you or not. You got to show me effort. And that's what I like about a lot of our teams. They at least show me effort most of the time. I just don't think that sometimes the kids are as good as they think they are. But that's where we are in society today. So, that being said, we're going to step away, take a break. We're running along. We always run that first segment along. We get to talking. Now I've got whatever Ken's got. So, we'll be back in a moment here.
You better not.
BCSN Live.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Fowl County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
Are you considering a new home purchase, a remodel, or even starting a business? Are you looking for a stable partner you can trust to help you understand your options? This is David Johnson. I'm the senior commercial lender at Whitaker Bank in Stanton. As part of your community, I'm here to help you understand the best options for you today and in the future. Give me a call at 606-663-2283. Let me show you what Uniquely Kentucky means.
Whitaker Bank, Uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Count on Clark Regional Medical Center for quality health care close to home. It's why we're here, providing compassionate, personalized care whenever you may need it, so you, your family, and our community can all thrive. Because no matter where you are in life, nothing is more important than your health. Clark Regional Medical Center, from the routine to the unforeseen. Count on us. Learn more at clarkregional.org.
Since opening in 1972, Citizens Guarantee Bank has been there to help our customers enhance their lives and achieve their dreams. With 7 locations across central and eastern Kentucky today, we are celebrating 50 years of being there for the communities we call home. Citizens Guarantee Bank is now CG Bank. New name, same commitment to being there for our neighbors. CG Bank, we've been there for that. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
Sorry about that. We're trying to resolve something off the air, too. So while we're doing some of our congratulations.
Yeah, let's actually recognize some of the players who made the state tournament in cross country. And what's interesting, David, is that a lot of these players were soccer players, and they had just enough time in order to compete in order to make the state. So Axel Vasquez, Tucker Baker, Nathan McCoy, Landon Nolan, and Garrett Gillespie. So congratulations to them.
Four of the five?
Yeah. So five players.
But all five, did all five play soccer? Or just four of the five?
Like they all did, right?
Nate McCoy, I couldn't remember if
McCoy
played or not.
Yeah, Nate McCoy and
Landon. So they all
Landon.
Five?
Yeah, all five. So again, you have five
there's some
soccer players.
There's some tie-in.
Right, that with that, again, you're running, easy to do that and go cross-country.
If you have the stamina to run cross-country, you should be able to be an effective soccer player, right?
Correct, and obviously these guys were.
There you go.
You know, so again, congratulations to those players, Coach Julie Clark, for the team that will be competing coming up in the state tournament.
And all those guys will probably switch it over and run track in the spring as they prepare for their next soccer season, but why not be a, you know, three-sport or more athlete in these events, because they can only enhance your sport. We're talking a little bit off the air about work ethic of these kids today. Yeah, they work for an hour and a half, 2 hours of practice. How much do they work off the floor, off the field? Do they put the 4 days a week minimum in the weight room? Do they eat right? Do they hydrate well enough? Listen, if you want to be special, you got to eat right. You got to take care of your body. You got to lift weights. You got to be in good shape. If not, you're just going to say you're a player. And when you go and you try to go to the next level, you'll be unsuccessful because those kids have had the work ethic in the weight room. If it's 2 hours of practice per day, which is 10 hours a week in the gym, we have to spend another 20 hours outside of the gym working on other things to get better as far as weight training, cardio, nutrition. Make sure you get the proper rest. It takes time to be effective and be good. Until you're willing to do the work, can't expect to win.
Correct. And do we collectively, as an athletic program, do our student athletes do that? Do our coaches hold them accountable to that? Can you hold them accountable to that, kind of? And if so, how do you even do that? Because I think, if it's the off season, you know, who wants to come in as an example and lift weights? You know, if I'm, you know, playing football as an example.
Well, to me, if you're a football player and you don't want to lift weights, probably shouldn't play. You're really not a football player. You're really just kind of a person that wants to suit up on Friday nights
to play a game.
But you're not going to be successful.
And that's where teams like Belfry create that mindset that, guess what, during the offseason, what do you think those guys are doing?
Did you see the line of Belfry?
Yeah, they probably had 60 kids.
Those kids were all on their bench club, their deadlift, whatever the exercise you do, they're all strong kids. Those kids could play college ball. Our kids, if they are anybody's the same size, we got a couple kids that are that big and work out. But as a collective, you got five linemen plus a couple tight ends in our offense. If those seven have a break, one of those seven has a breakdown, everybody else has a tough night. So for me, if all seven are on the same page in the weight room, we can't be successful. So it takes, again, one through whatever number on your roster to work out. It takes leadership from the players to get other players interested in doing that. Now, if you're a multi-sport athlete, which I would like to see a lot of our kids do that. I don't want to see athletes, let's say football players, for example. I don't want to see a football player that chooses to play basketball, then baseball, just to take time off the weight room. If you want to be a good football player, spending time in the weight room is what you have to do. But as well, if you're going to be a really good baseball player or basketball player, you need to spend time in the weight room at some point. I think our kids have opportunities at school, even during the day. You can take the weight training courses, but you got to be willing to work. Don't just go there, and it's only 50 minutes. So if you're going to do that workout at school, that needs to be your kind of the warm-up for your workout after school. And, you know, most of the time, like right now, the boys have practice early. When these kids get out of practice, they need to go lift every night. And on their own. I mean, if the coaches aren't staying, which they're probably not, the players have got to go find time on their own to go put a couple hours in the weight room. And when you come back the next day, you got to do it again.
And it's that individual effort. I apologize. My allergies are just kicking in here. But anyway, to me, it goes back to, if you want to be extraordinary, you have to give the extra and not just be ordinary, right? And that's really what you're talking about. In order to go to that next level, in order to be competitive, because it's one thing to get out of the region, right? It's another thing where you're competing at the state level, regardless of sport.
Listen, we've only got a couple teams, in football, in this area. You got Breathitt County, who is well known now for football. You got Belfry, Bell County in the past. There are teams in Eastern Kentucky who have been pretty good. But I promise you this, their weight program is huge. And if you don't have it, you can't win. But if you look at baseball players today, these guys were chiseled. These guys are lifting 2 or 3 hours a day. Golfers are lifting weights every day. It's not like no athlete's not lifting. If you're an athlete, if you're a professional, you're on some kind of a weight program somewhere.
Yeah, more than likely you have a trainer.
Yes.
Right.
Now, again, that begins to be much easier when you got somebody pushing you every day, or if you're making enough money to where this is your job. I'm going to pay you, but you're going to work. You know, when you go to college, it's not all fun and games. You're required to go to the weight room. You get up at 5:30. You go to the weight room at 6. You're done at 7:30. Then you go to class. Then you go to practice at noon. So it's extra, and but it's really not. It's what it takes. It's really not extra.
That is what it takes. That's the bottom line.
That's normal.
Yeah, correct, because that is what it takes in order to get to that next level to win championships. Again, you have to put in the time in order to do that. And I've shared this story before. Kobe Bryant, he was
last
practicing. That's exactly right. On the court during his warm-ups, he's going to be the last one to leave before a game, because guess what? He's going to let you know he's going to be there to the end. You're not going to outwork him or out-hustle him, outperform him. He's going to put in the extra in order to prove that you're not going to be better than me, because I'm willing to put in the time and the effort to go to that next level.
Yeah.
Again, I wish that we could change the mindset, the mentality of our student athletes. I get that there's a lot going on, you know, and you have limited time. But at the same time, if you want to go, you truly want to compete for regional titles and state titles, you got to start going extra.
If a team from Belfry or Breathitt can do it, it's a 24-hour day regardless of where you are.
I mean, even look at Paintsville. Paintsville, I mean, you know, the city school, basically. Look how small their enrollment is, but look how many championships they've won.
Especially in basketball, right?
Yeah. Just saying, again, they're willing to put in that time, that effort, in order to get to the next level.
Well, now look at Johnson Central the last few years. It's kind of been really taken away from Paintsville because they're good at everything.
Yeah.
So now
yeah.
Kids from the city school, let's go to Central instead.
Right.
You're seeing a lot of that going on in all of the state, with kids transferring from a city school to the county school because they're bigger. They should be better. My numbers, doesn't mean you always are. But, again, our kids have got to put more time in, more work in, and more effort. As we talk about football a little bit, they'll take on Betsy Lane tomorrow night, or Friday night, excuse me. And that team is 7-1, 8-1. Can't remember their record.
8-1.
2A team that
2A,
is
yeah.
really good. So if they're as good passing the football like I hear, Packon is going to struggle because we struggled against passing game all year. Done okay against the run at times, but we normally don't cover both well. It is senior night, so come out and support your Pirates regardless, because it's the last time you can see them play this year.
They actually beat Floyd Central 41-8.
And Floyd Central beat us by about 10.
Yeah, and then they also beat Fairview, which was the only win that the Pirates had. 43-0 was the score of that one. And then they also beat Pike County Central 32-21.
So three of the teams Pike County has played, two losses, one win. They're 3-0 with bigger results.
Yeah, correct, yeah. Again, 8-1 is going to be a tough matchup for the Pirates, but let's hope for some way, somehow, they can come out on senior night.
And let's get it done.
They're not making the playoffs, you know, so, I mean, a lot to prove. Hopefully there's a lot of pride, a lot of heart. Let's get the win to close out the season and end it on a positive note.
Yeah, and on the flip side, tomorrow night we're going to broadcast a middle school game, which I know that hasn't been done before, but this team is undefeated on the season. They'll play Lewis County tomorrow night in the semifinals of the conference. So let's come out and support what could be some of the new players we're going to see next year. I don't think a lot of these kids will be able to. Well, I don't know. Just how much work they want to put in the offseason and how successful they may become. Again, would be interested to see. We'll have that game on tomorrow night. It'll be a different little type game for us, so expect us to not get every name right, because we're not used to these rosters either.
True, and I will say this too, as far as the Pirates seniors, Logan Ambergy, Trevor Brown, Cole Nobles, where am I at here? don't know. I'm missing.
Is
one
Dalton
more.
Reed? Is he a junior? Dalton and Jacob Green. Are they both junior?
No. Well, had it and lost it. But anyway, there's only four of them that are actually on there. Logan Ambergy, Trevor Brown, Cole Nobles, and Tyson Edwards. Yeah, okay. And Tyson Edwards. Again, four players that have consistently played. Hopefully they can come out and have a big impact on the game. And again, the Pirates can come away with the win to go.
At least come out with a better showing. You know, last week against Belfry, we didn't expect to win. We expected the Pirates to go out and play hard. They've had the best offensive game they had in 2 or 3 weeks. Defensively, they just didn't get it done. But Belfry is a different level. Betsy Lane, unexpectedly this year for this group, is probably different than what we had expected. But you got to go play the game, and it's your senior night. And, you know, everybody can't be a cupcake at this time of year. Yeah. So.
And I will say this, and I did forget about this as well, that the Pirates are actually 2-7 because of the Western Hills. Western Hills had an ineligible player to play, so they
every game he played was a loss down their schedule.
Correct, yeah. So, you know, the Pirates are 2-7, but
I listened to one of the players talk about that today. He said we're still 1-8.
It correct, yes, exactly, right. You still lost regardless.
Yeah, I mean, I think the player looked at it right, but again, that was a competitive game early in the season for us. I thought we were more competitive.
Yeah, it was 28-26.
Yeah, a couple things gone different. We win that game.
Correct. And I was like, even as far as like, you know, ineligible player and all of that, have you kept up with, you know, the whole Michigan thing with the player potentially stealing, you know, a staff member stealing signs, going to Big Ten games or whatever else? So here's the thing, okay? So potentially he's gone to Big Ten games, different people, and, you know, possibly stealing signs and reporting back. You know, it's an investigation or whatever else. But Deion Sanders ended up saying, and I totally agree with him, okay, just because you know the play that I'm going to run and you're prepared for it, you still have to execute defensively to stop me. And I have to execute offensively in order to achieve my goal of the first down or whatever it might be. So whether or not they stole signs or anything else along that line, completely different in football because, again, you still have to execute. It's one thing if I'm playing baseball and I know that a curveball's coming or a fastball's coming, right? I got a little bit more prep. But
yeah, but
ultimately,
what Houston did a few years ago was wrong.
Sure.
But stealing signs is
still
an art.
Wrong.
Is an art.
Sure.
I think stealing signs used to be part of the game. And if you didn't try to steal signs, you were trying.
Well, now in college football, this is a whole different kind of thing because, but you know, now it's bringing to light. I'm not saying that people haven't done it, but now it's being brought to light, you know, the different signs, whether it's the cards they're holding up.
If I go watch a game, and I don't understand it on TV, they won't show that whole thing. But if I'm just going there to watch the coaches give signs, and they're that easy to pick up,
oh no, it's a series. I'm saying like,
oh, I know. I'm just,
you know.
But I'm saying though, but even if you can figure out over 10 games what their patterns are, that's your fault. Change your patterns. I mean, I'm just, to me.
But you still have to execute, even if you again.
Well, but if I know
it's
they're
like
running,
it's like fourth and one, and guess what? You know, I'm probably going to run the ball. Now, whether it's a quarterback keeper, I'm giving it to the fullback or whatever. You know, more than likely, I'm probably going to run the ball.
But if I know which hole you're going through.
Or fourth and goal.
Right?
I'm just saying. Right.
If I know I'm running a two gap, I'm going to stack the two gap. If I know I'm running the three gap, I'm going to stack the three. If I know what gap you're going, we'll load that up. But again, the back's good enough to know, man, they look like they're loading. I may have to cut.
Instead of going left off the left guard, I'm going right behind center.
Players have opportunities to read as well. Yeah. But again, I understand the theory of, and people say it's cheating, and what Houston did, I think, was cheating. This, to me, is, I don't know. When you had a runner at second base, and they pick out, they could figure out your signs. That's your fault. That's their obligation as a runner at second is try to pick up the sign. Try to pick up a location. Help his teammate point inside, outside, up, down. Some players don't want the information.
Right.
But if you can pick up a little bit, I know me, if I pick up a catcher's tendencies, I'm all about not relaying to my players. Give some keywords saying, this is where I think the location is. Now, if they miss a spot, I'm in trouble.
Well, it's easy to pick up tendencies as well.
Yeah.
Right? Whether it's habits, all of a sudden, okay, I'm getting ready to throw a fastball. Maybe I do this particular move or motion or something to kind of tip you off.
That's on the player.
That's exactly right. But sometimes there are those tendencies or whatever else in order to kind of pick those things up.
You see how many iPads are in dugouts now?
All the
baseball players, they're back in the football. They're going back and they're looking at players, where they are, where they're located. But if you could pick up one thing that's a read or a tell, use it.
Well, that's where it goes back to studying film.
Yeah, I mean, use it.
Yeah, I'm studying film in order to pick up those tendencies in order to realize, oh, wait a minute, they're in this set. Okay, I know it's going to be a screen pass.
You know, it's like they're going to give you a head fake to the right, but they're going left
in basketball. Yeah.
I mean, you have to be able to do that, to be able to give a scouting report to your kids. That's just part of the game.
Well, that's what Ken Jones would do.
That's exactly what he did.
Right?
Yeah.
He's watching
and
film.
And was good at it.
Yeah, he's diagnosing film or digesting film in that regard as far as come up with a game plan, realizing, oh, they have tendencies to do this in this situation, and therefore he's breaking
right,
it down.
And if they're faking right, they're going left every
correct.
Time.
Correct, and he knew those things. That's what made him so successful.
I mean,
I just
think that's something that you have to do to be successful. I don't know. I'm just, like I said, I don't think it's cheating if another team's giving it to me. You know what I mean? Fix your stuff. It's like this. If my kids miss a sign to steal, I'm going to get ready to yell at them. Steal. Next pitch. I don't care if they know or not.
Right. Well, again, going back to Deion Sanders, at that point, you've got to execute.
Throw me out.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right.
I mean,
you know what I'm going
to
do.
I'm getting ready to run.
You still have to stop me from doing what I'm
going
to do.
They're going. I've even said,
right.
They're going.
Right.
If you want to know, throw me out. I mean, that's just, I agree with Deion a little bit there. It's up to you to stop me. You know?
Agreed. Yeah.
We got way off track again, but we'll take a couple breaks again.
We're still talking football.
Yeah, we'll still talk football when we come back here on PCSN Live.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
Allen's Hardware is a hidden gem in Clay City and known for their dependable down-home service. Visit Allen's Hardware at 30 Black Creek Road and you'll find Valspar Paints, Echo Power Tools, Electrical Supplies, Septic System Accessories, Key Cutting Services, and even U-Haul Rentals. That's Allen's Hardware at 30 Black Creek Road in Clay City. To find out more, call 606-663-1122. That's 606-663-1122.
You want to save money, and Appalachian Wireless gets that. Right now, you can get up to $650 off select devices, including the latest and the greatest on the Advantage Unlimited plan with a trade-in. Did y'all hear me? Up to $650 off select devices, including the latest and greatest with a trade-in. Now, I'm not a math whiz, but this deal, it's amazing. And you'll be on the region's premier network. We are you. We are Appalachian Wireless. See AppalachianWireless.com for complete terms and conditions.
You deserve a bank that truly values you. At People's Exchange Bank, they pride themselves on providing personalized service that other banks just can't match. Whether you're needing a checking account, a home loan, or financial advice, our team of local professionals have you covered. Visit 53 East Pendleton Street in Stanton or visit them online at pebank.com. Join their family of satisfied customers today and experience the hometown difference at People's Exchange Bank, where banking is about you. People's Exchange Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
At Wells Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. One such opportunity is the funeral or memorial service. Such a loving event celebrates the choices they made, the relationship you shared, and honors the memory of your loved one. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event. Contact us today to discuss the possibilities. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Welcome back. Again, Ken was a little bit under the weather, and I think I've become hoarse because I don't know. We can talk about some stuff I get fired up about, and now I've lost my voice.
Mine's all allergy stuff. Yeah. Again, this happens to me every year about this time for whatever reason, and I wish I could change it.
Well, it's beautiful this time of year right here in Powell County. It's, if you don't come visit the gorge, this is the time to do it.
Right.
Now, the forecast for next week is cold, right?
Correct.
This week is really nice, but from what I have seen, the forecast for next week's in the 30s. Hello.
Well, in Kentucky, you know.
Welcome, winter.
it doesn't matter, you know. I mean, it'll change in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it's hot today. It was hot yesterday. Relatively warm.
Well, you know, still 75 to 80 degrees. I mean, this time of year, listen, I was. There's still flowers in bloom, roses. I mean, there are all kinds of flowers that are still in bloom.
October 25th.
Based on the weather, right? Yeah.
Well, now I think recently, like up until November, middle of November at least, sometimes even into December, we have really nice weather. Last year, Thanksgiving, I believe it was in the 60s or 70s. When I was growing up, we didn't ever have that kind of a November, the whatever, but.
No, it was mostly cold. Now you hit November warmer. And it's cold all the way through, March.
But say we're expecting to have a bad winter, but. What is a bad winter? I don't even know what a bad winter is anymore.
Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know.
Not cold outside, right? I just want it, as long as in March the 15th, we step on a softball field again, it's not in the 40s.
Agreed.
I just want in the 50s. Just give me 50s and I'm good. But when the sun goes down.
And no ice. I don't want any ice.
No.
You know, I don't care about the snow, but no ice.
So as far as broadcast schedule going forward, we will tomorrow night we'll have the middle school game. Friday night we'll have the last football game. We are done except for the PCSN show on Wednesdays for the rest of this month and next month, I guess. So
yeah, we'll do PCSN
except for the Thanksgiving week.
Correct. And then that following Tuesday, I believe, is our first basketball game. I can't remember if it's boys or correct, the 28th. Yeah.
Yeah. So pretty much all of November will only be here. We will not have any playoff games to go to or anything like that. So you'll get to not hear us as much on radio. Thank our sponsors again for we've covered a lot this fall. We've really done a lot. So thank our sponsors for doing that. You'll still hear those spots here on this show, and as we go forward, you'll still hear from our sponsors. But make sure you thank them. And again, if you're interested, join us late.
Doesn't matter.
It's never too late to start.
Yeah, because basketball, we'll be doing quite a few basketball
busy
games,
as well.
Boys and girls basketball, yeah.
I think the schedule looked like somewhere around 30-some games we're covering. So, plus district and region, we do a lot. And
2 to 4 games a week.
Well,
actually, 2 to 5.
Worth the money.
Yeah, definitely well worth the money, and even looking forward to that. I will say this, at some point coming up, we will have the cross-country players, the runners that made it to state. We'll have them come in, and we'll actually interview them and talk to them about
cross-country.
And
that's probably won't be for, what, 2 more weeks, probably?
It's coming up soon, yeah. Not this week, but I think it's next week, yeah.
Ken will be here next week, so we're going to try to put something together.
I'll be here next week and won't be here the 8th.
The 8th, okay.
Correct.
So the 8th week, we do plan on having a Ken Jones remembrance show. So I'd like to have some former players, coaches, people that have worked with Ken. Hannah Ma, if you want to come in, we'll talk to you as well. But we're going to have a phone live call-in show where – and you can call us at any time anyway, but originally that's what the show was designed for. But on that night especially, if you have something you want to say kindly about Ken, or we're going to record that show and try to give it to Maude and the family. And have something to remember by that way. But that one night that Ken won't be here, at least we'll have something else to talk about and try to remember Ken in as positive a light as we can. He had a good career here, had a good career in Hazard. Really kind of two different lives for Ken. He had one up there and one down here, so he is missed. So
yeah, even going back to his television, yeah. He definitely in addition to teaching, I mean, again, a very unique,
worked the railroad for years. Yeah. And he just did a lot of different things, and I don't know. It's just, if you didn't know him, you missed a lot. If you didn't want to get to know him, then you did miss a lot. Ken was, he was kind of close. You didn't get to know him real well unless you were involved, but he was a special person. He is missed, and like I said, we're going to try to do a show on the 8th to remember him a little bit as the season gets ready to start. Again, World Series sets to kick off on Friday night. It'll be the Arizona Diamondbacks. Hello. The Reds should have been in that spot. They don't give away two games a week before. They tie Arizona, they're in. I'm not sure they beat Los Angeles and Philadelphia like Arizona did, though.
I know, but we kind of talked about that when it started as far as pitching and injuries. Obviously, Los Angeles was affected, Atlanta was affected, and then all of a sudden here you have Texas and Arizona just right and get, on a roll in a sense as far as like being down, both of them down. Well, actually, Texas was up 2-0.
Texas was up 2, then Houston won 3.
Yeah, but then you look at Arizona and all of a sudden Philly goes up 2. And all of a sudden, then Arizona is able to go on a big run.
Yeah, and Philly had the one game they dropped. They were up, 3 or 4 runs and dropped that one game, and everything changed since then. But, man, congratulations to Arizona.
Who could have seen this?
I like their team. They got their second pitcher is from Bellarmine here in Kentucky. He pitched last night for 4 1/3, I think. And then struck out 10 his first appearance. They struck out 17 batters in like 9 innings in 2 games. But last year, he was in the 10s, his ERA, in minor leagues. So, but he's done a complete transformation. Congratulations, especially from a kid from right here in Kentucky, from Bellarmine. So, nice to see.
Yeah, and I think really when you look at these two teams, like you were saying earlier, who could have expected this, unless you're obviously a Rangers fan or a Diamondbacks fan?
Well, but
not so much you'd have seen these two teams playing each other. Obviously, you want your team to advance, but
listen,
the fact that both of these teams have advanced to the World Series is...
When you look at national broadcast, and the Reds are included in this too, Cardinals even. Well, the Cardinals not as much. Cardinals do get shown some. The Diamondbacks, never.
No.
Texas, never. These two teams both lost over 100 games a couple years ago, and now look at them. This is fun. To me, I'm glad these teams are making it, and the high-money guys are not. However, Texas did spend really big for some of these players. So, I mean, they've got a pretty high payroll right now.
I think what'll be interesting is what's the market share going to be as far as viewership.
I don't think it'll be as high.
I don't think so either.
But to me, it's more
think
fun.
So either.
Even if you take Philadelphia, their market's pretty good. They were World Series champs last year. Philadelphia's a good baseball market. Arizona should be a good baseball market because of the retired folks. Spring training's in Arizona. I just don't think it will be. Texas is the same way. If Houston goes, bigger market. Texas, not been there. But I like it. I really like it. The two teams haven't been there in a while. We're back in the World Series. Starts on Friday night. It'll be fun to watch.
We'll switch gears real quick. Kentucky playing host to Tennessee in football.
Well, this is a must-win for Kentucky.
Must-win. You have to. Again, you can't start off 4-0, go 0-2 since that start. I'll give
conference
you the Georgia.
Play.
I'll give you the Georgia. No big deal, right? But then the Missouri, like we talked last week. But
you lose 3
to,
conference games.
Yeah, and it's not going to get any easier because you still have Alabama on there. You still have, who's the other one? South Carolina. And there's I can't think of who the other one is.
There's a couple more, right?
There are, yeah.
Then non-conference, you got Louisville.
So that's the correct Louisville. Yeah, that's the
you got to have
one.
6 wins to be eligible for a bowl, which I think is kind of silly myself anyway, but they got to be good enough.
3 games left, though? 4 games
Four
left.
4 games left.
4 games left. I mean, that's still, might even be 5. I can't remember. Yeah, regardless.
They got to win against Tennessee.
They have to win against Tennessee in order to,
to stay
back.
to stay with pride for the season. They lose to Tennessee, and it's going to be a tough road for Kentucky. Not that Tennessee's not a good team.
Sure, and they are.
They're a good team.
But, and they are.
There are really no bad teams in the SEC. We're getting better. We're like, okay, Kentucky might be getting better. So is everybody else.
Well, and even with the, you know, Missouri, they're 7-1. You know, I get that. You know, they're actually a really good team, but still under the circumstances, that should have been a win. Here's where it is. Kentucky has Tennessee, Mississippi State, Alabama, South Carolina, and Louisville. I forgot about Mississippi State.
Got to have at least, to me, the state get a chance at a good BCS bowl. Have got to win four of those. Four of the five to get a good BCS bowl. They can't lose more than three games.
I'll give you the Alabama. Right, under those circumstances. Okay, you know.
I think they can compete with Alabama this year.
Well, you definitely, to me, you have to beat Tennessee regardless. Tennessee is the next opponent up.
They're in your conference. They're in your division.
Right, and then you have to beat Mississippi State. South Carolina is down. Louisville's going to be a tough match only because it's at Louisville. There'll be a raucous crowd there. And then Alabama at home. We'll see how that goes, but take care of business this weekend against Tennessee.
Go Cats. Again, we'll see you tomorrow night, middle school contest here at the high school field.
Radio and NFHS.
At 7 o'clock, Friday night, 7 o'clock, NFHS radio. After that, we'll be right here at the studio, likely on Wednesdays. So thanks for listening here on PCSN Live.
Joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Toyota South, People's Exchange Bank, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy.
Pick up Country 104.